Hi, this is Xuan Gang, founder and CEO of iMedicine.
Hi, this is Dave Kim from iMedicine, and you're listening to the NeuroNoodle Network podcast.
Welcome to NeuroNoodle's Neurofeedback and Neuropsychology podcast, featuring our neuropsychologist, Dr. Laura Jansons, Dr. Skip Brin, tech whiz Santiago Brand, and neurofeedback legend Jake Unkelman. Our goal is to provide information and promote options for better mental health. This is an all-star cast that are more than happy to share their knowledge with you. My name is Pete, and today we have a special guest, Dave Kim, director at iMedisync. But before we get to Dave, we'd like to thank our Patreon business supporters, Outrageous Baking, Tor Talk, Alternative Behavioral Therapy, Amazing Brains, Successful Practitioner, In Mind Out, Biomedical Instruments, and Neuro Training Strategies. Hey, we'd also like to give a shout out to our supporters, EEGME, Sadie M, Jonathan Rowan, January Terrell, and Loretta T. Outrageous Baking is a dedicated gluten-free bakery. Tor Talk wants more people to discover text-to-speech. Joshua M. at Alternative Behavioral Therapy, Neurofeedback Service in Vancouver, Washington. Amazing Brains has two neurofeedback locations in Vail Valley and Summit County, Colorado. And Successful Practitioner helps professionals navigate the challenges of running a neurofeedback practice. In Mind Out partners with Successful Practitioner to provide biofeedback, neurofeedback, and QEEG certificate programs that meet both APA and board certification requirements. They offer 100% online and hybrid options that allow hands-on experience with a variety of different equipment. They are the leaders of unbiased, science-driven education, also provide how-to manuals that guide you through clinical documentation, protocols, reports, and setting up your practice. Check out the 6th Annual Super Brain Summit this April 8th at Bradley University, featuring Dr. Bruce Wexler, a psychiatrist at Yale Medical School. He'll discuss neurotherapeutics, how can we regulate the brain with computers. Register now at bradley.edu/superbrainsummit. Biomedical Instruments carries a wide variety of biofeedback and neurofeedback equipment and supplies. They carry a full line of EEG, QEEG, EMG, temperature, GSR, and heart rate products from major manufacturers. Dr. Mary Tracy and Neurotraining Strategies, a higher standard of EEG, QEEG education, is currently offering a BCIA certified EEG neurofeedback course through stensacademy.com. Stay tuned for the launch of Mary's website and her QEEG board certified online course coming to a browser near you next month. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the word out. If they can't hear us, we can't help them. If you'd like to spread the word of your business, please check us out on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. We have different advertising options for every budget. Dave, welcome to the show. Dave Kim, director at iMedisync. Thank you for coming on board today.
Thank you so much for introducing me. And appreciate so much for inviting me in this exciting podcast. It's my great honor to see you all and all listeners.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's our honor. Jay has been talking, and Santiago has been talking about your fine looking caps there. I can't believe they're not wearing them now.
Well, we wanted the show to allow him to present everything. Santiago and I get goofy enough without having to have people suggest it, you know.
So Jay, how did your relationship start with iMedisync? How long ago, and when did you meet Dave? How did this all begin? Because I know you've done a lot of work helping them out. Well, you've done a lot of work helping a lot of people out.
Well, I was just being friends, you know. So it's been a little over a decade, I believe, just before their entire database project. We met at a neuroscience meeting and struck up a nice friendship. It's been good to see them at meetings over the years. I don't get out terribly much other than to meetings. So it's always good getting out and seeing friends. They were foolish enough to listen to my suggestions. So, as I always tell people, don't blame me for your success. they earned their success all by themselves. Oh, it looks like we've also got perhaps
Sungwon.
Sungwon Kang is here as well. We were just saying, I was just saying that we had met over a decade ago as your project started up, and we've just been friends. And like I tell everybody that receives my my advice of any sort, don't blame me for your success. So you earn your success yourself. It's not mine. So
nice to meet everybody.
So Jay met everybody 10 years ago. Santiago, when did you get into the fold? Because you were just in South Korea visiting with these guys, right?
Right. I had the great honor and pleasure to go visit them in Seoul last December. And I first became aware of them back in early 2018. I was attending one of Jay's workshops. I believe it was AAPB in Orlando. And Jay started mentioning them and talking about the database and the innovative work they were doing. And I was going to meet them for the first time in person in early 2020 at AAPB in San Diego, just when COVID started. So that had to be canceled. And I started talking to Daekun more online through one of the different study groups that we have. That one of the study groups that was run by our late friend, Yo Castellano. And that's when I started talking with them more and learning about the helmet and the work they were doing. And it was just by sheer happenstance that early November, October last year, Singapore started reopening borders and they created a vaccinated travel lane with Korea, where travelers from Singapore going into Korea wouldn't need to quarantine as long as they were fully vaccinated. And my wife and I decided to go, and I wrote an email to Daekun saying, my wife and I are going to Korea. I would love to go visit your facilities. And we coordinated, we got together, and we ended up spending a full day with them. We had a great time. I met Sungwon, I met Dave, I met Mandy, the team. And I have to say, I was quite impressed by not only their operation, the work that they're doing, but their hospitality. I had heard that Koreans are quite hospitable, very friendly people, but I got to experience that myself. And I cannot wait to go back and see them again and visit the country again. But we spent a full day. We had a very nice Korean barbecue. My wife and I got to wear the helmet, and they showed me everything they're working on. One of the reasons I decided to go is because you can tell that they're focused on the science and they're focused on providing the evidence as opposed to just the marketing. And to me, that's very important. And that's something I highly respect. And I know that I got a state-of-the-art product. Everybody who's seen me wearing it is asking me about it. And I'm happy to promote it because I believe that the product is very well designed. You can tell that they spent a long time working on not only the software, but the actual design for the helmet before it became a reality. And I have been testing it with friends and colleagues around here, and I'm quite satisfied, more than quite satisfied with the quality that it produces. And it now being wireless and dry sensor technology, dry electrode technology, it opens the doors for more optimal and creative neurofeedback work. You don't have the limitation of dragging cables around and carrying more supplies to the amplifier. And in my work with peak performance and athletes, I think that's a big plus. So I just have to say that I'm really quite impressed. And how they have the operation set up in their facilities with the engineers dissecting the EEG, working on the algorithms, This is truly next generation.
They have a great tagline: "Get to know yourself in 10 minutes." Is that right? Because Jay was on the show Oh, what was it? A few shows ago, Jay had just got his helmet and he put it on. I was trying to pay attention to Taylor. Then I saw Jay messing around with his little cap there. What do you got going on, Jay?
Well, you can see the inside of it. The electrodes, if you expand it out, you can see the electrodes in the front split apart, stay proportionate. As this sets on your head, and again, it gives you a little bit of a Star Wars trooper look, but it keeps all the electrodes in the proper location, and it's quite flexible. It looks like it's like one big solid piece, but it's all individual little segments that are all hooked together that end up expanding and contracting and keeping the electrodes in the appropriate 1020 sites. Actually, it took me more time to fill out my personal information because I'm so old, I had to spin the wheel to get back to 1949. So it took me a while, but it took as much time to fill out my name, telephone number, and date of birth, because again, I had to spin the wheel for the age. But the helmet went on in less than 2 minutes. I positioned the frontal electrodes in the front, expanded the wave and put it on my head, released it, and everything went in good contact. I looked at the impedances, they were all green. There wasn't any need to, you know, fiddle around with any of them to make better contact. It was very quick. Now, the only thing I did before putting it on was to wipe my forehead, which there's a lot of forehead now. I can get back to C3 and C4 with no hair. So, but it went on quick and easy. It was not uncomfortable. Quite honestly, I've had electrocaps, Electrocap International, put on with the chin straps and chest straps, and then the needle to scrape the skin, and you know that can be quite uncomfortable. So this was really quite a delight to see a high quality recording instantly after simply applying it. I know that there are some people that have lots of hair or specific areas that might be more difficult, but there's no electrode system that's not going to have some difficulty with some specific circumstance. And I would urge people to give the iSync wave a solid look when they have a chance at the next meeting.
Now, Sung Wong, thank you for coming on the show. You are a medical doctor, correct?
Yeah, right.
How did you get started with neurofeedback, QEGs? I mean, last I checked, there aren't too many programs where you can go in and say, oh, I want to build a QEEG cap. How did that start for you?
So I graduated Seoul National University Medical College, and I had been very interested in so-called integrative medicine. Integrating westernized scientific medicine and oriental medicine together. So I have some philosophy of medicine for integration of mind and body together. So I had tried to find how to integrate together this body and mind scientifically and quantitatively measured method. So after graduation, I got the residence training from family medicine. After that, I got the postdoctoral training as my fellowship training for chronic pain management. So when I cared for so many refractory chronic pain disorder induced by traffic accident or some traumatic brain injury or some other unexplainable many chronic problems such as CRPS or some other problems. But then that such kind of disorder were typical complex chronic mind and body problems together, so emotional and physical problem. But at the time, I didn't have any solution to assess and measure the brain disorder exactly and quantitatively. So I seriously considered I had to start some research and I had to develop some solution for this patient. And then I realized, oh, our signal, our body signal, some rhythm, frequency, power, and some functional correlation together has very important rhythm for our body and mind. I started to study brainwave, so-called EEG, and I started to participate in some ISNR to 2008. And at the first meeting, I met the Jay Gunkelman, and I realized that, oh, this was what I exactly wanted to learn and want to study. That's the start. That's the my initiation of my research and everything. So I considered what I had to start, what point, where I had to start. Okay, make database and make database to standardize age and sex differentiation. That's the big project. That's the, my start. And I got the many inspiration and advice from Jay Gunkelman. And then after making database, then I need to some service platform. So I started to develop iSync Brain cloud-based automatic EEG analyzing system. And then finally, I developed my headset. That's my brief story.
And then Dae Koon, how did you get involved? How long have you been with the company?
My background was electrical engineering. I have been pursuing so for long, finding electrophysiological sign of self-healing or self-regulation and the mechanism of those. Sungwan made a university level research center for tackling this issue. So I joined his research center and working together with Sungwan since 2009. I thought that the healing process is kind of a momentarily process, moment to moment changing process. We finally decided to investigate momentarily changing variable in human. Those were electrophysiological signs, signals, brain waves, and heart rhythm. That was the main topic of our research.
Santiago, when you were in South Korea, did you happen to get any information? Like, I don't know what it's like in Singapore. I don't know what it's like in South Korea to get adoption of the product compared to the United States.
Well, as far as I know, I am the first and only professional to use it here in Singapore. And when we talked about obtaining the product, I immediately jumped at the opportunity because I knew I was acquiring, again, next generation state-of-the-art device. Neurofeedback is being slowly growing, and EEG work has been slowly growing in Southeast Asia. I think that eventually this will catch on, not as quickly as maybe the US or Europe, but there are more professionals doing serious work and getting interested in EEG and neurofeedback in an ethical, proper way. I don't know, they can correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I as far as I know, they had already been talking about some prospective distributors in here in Singapore, and then countries like Thailand, Philippines, Malaysia, I think Japan. So I think that that it will grow, not maybe at a fast pace, but it will. Now, as far as the acquisition process, the company made it tremendously easy for me, and I have to say thank you again for that. for the shipping process and the acquisition process and getting through customs here in Singapore. It was a very smooth transition. We agreed on the purchase. They got it ready. They sent it here, and it got here in no time. The shipping customs process was very smooth here. I don't know how it works in other, but in Singapore was quite smooth and effective without any issues. It didn't get stuck in customs. They did rescan it. I sent a JF picture because they had to open the box, see the product, and seal it again. And I guess it's something they had never seen before, so that got them curious. But as far as Singapore goes, it was very smooth. And I'm extremely pleased with the service that I've received. I'm also well known in the field because I can be quite pestering. And I have been seriously pestering Declan with questions day in and day out. And he's always been there for me. You know, WhatsApp, email, he's always there to answer my questions and patiently walks me through the process. And I've been playing with the helmet and working different ways in which I can do serious science with this. But I think that the technology will catch on. Asians are quite open-minded about these new possibilities. And I know there's a few people in the US who are already interested. I have spoken about two professionals in Europe who have already got it. And I know of a couple of colleagues in the US already have it.
I think I'm echoing your question, Pete, but maybe more specifically to our guests. What is the process of getting this product in North America, United States specifically?
At this moment, we only have the FCC electronic device registration in US. So you can get the device as an electrical device. Now our device is under the final FDA document review. It takes another 30 days if there is no issue, another issue. So after 1 month, we will get the FDA 510K Class 2 medical device for this helmet. So after that moment, we can sell the device as a medical device for the clinical use.
That's huge.
And the process would be, you know, assuming everything moves forward like you anticipate, the process would be to contact you through your website?
Yes, you can you can visit our brand page. You can easily find the customer service. You can get all the information about the product and the customer process.
And Dae-Koon, you have three brands, I believe. Could you talk about the three different brands? Because you have the headset, you have the QEEG software, for lack of a better term, and then you have the heart product. Could you go through each one and tell us about them?
Yes. In 2018, our company released first cloud-based EEG norm comparison service using post-sex classified database, adopting AI automatic denoising. And the name of the software is iThinkBrain C. And at the same time, we released strong group statistics solution with normative library. Many researchers can use normative library. They don't need to collect the healthy population data. They can take advantage of normative library on the same platform. In 2020, we further developed a machine learning-based MCI, mild cognitive impairment classifier, as an early screening tool for the Alzheimer dementia after KFDA multicenter university level clinical study. And also we released the HRV analytics cloud solution, adopting HRV normative database. The name of the software is iThinkHeart. So all the cloud-based solution, iThinkBrain C for the normative comparison, iThinkBrain M for the early detection of Alzheimer's dementia, and iThinkHeart for the HRV comparison, all the cloud solution now registered as a KFDA software medical device. And finally, we developed an innovative dry headset having the digital therapeutics function and also cleared as a Class 2 medical device here in Korea now. The headset now have the near-infrared LED modulation function and simultaneous EEG recording during the LED neuromodulation, and will have the neurofeedback function we now under developing. The headset name, is iSync Wave. iSync Wave basically integrated with the iSync Brain, iSync Heart AI automatic analysis solution on the cloud. And we eventually develop a platform service combining the quick EEG recording device, AI guided EEG analysis software, and QEEG guided neurofeedback and neuromodulation function, and machine learning disease specific biomarker for early screening and personalization of intervention. And finally, connecting the EEG expert and mainstream clinician who do not use the EEG as an objective measure, and people suffering from mental health issue. The platform, we can connect all the EEG experts and all the clinician, many psychiatrists, many neurologists, many psychologists don't use the EEG. We can distribute the device and our brain expert, our brain body in this community can help them to easily use for their client personalized EEG guided neurotherapy. And we can eventually make a platform service connecting all EEG experts and all clinicians in the world and people suffering from mental issues.
Hey, let's take a break. This halftime break is brought to you by Successful Practitioner. They help professionals navigate the challenges of running a neurofeedback practice. Hey, InMindOut partners with Successful Practitioner to provide biofeedback, neurofeedback, and QEG certificate programs that meet both APA and board certification requirements. They offer 100% online and hybrid options that allow hands-on experience with a variety of different equipment. They are the leaders of unbiased, science-driven education, also provide how-to manuals that guide you through clinical documentation, protocols, reports, and setting up your practice. Check out Successful Practitioner and InMindOut now. Jay, what do you think the future looks like? Do you think athletes, coaches, trainers will have this, counselors in the high schools? Because, this dry sensor, having a neurofeedback business, getting that paste all over the place, not having to deal with that, training a tech to get the right placement. It sounds like, boom, you put it on. A lot of the issues that I've been having are gone. What does the future look like?
We've previously talked about a baseline study before the introduction of the sport. So if you have an occurrence of a head injury, or a change in cognitive function during the sport, you have a baseline to compare to. This allows for a very quick screening with a database normative comparison. Let's say 2 years from then, during high school, they hit their head. They have a normative comparison from 2 years before, but there's age comparison. The norms are adjusted for age. So you get a precise measurement and comparison, even though the person may have matured from early high school to late high school. There's a lot of maturation, last I remember. But I'm pretty old. Who knows? My recollection of high school is probably not as good as the current experience is. So I see this as a way to end up with a very quick screening of the entire team. Not, you don't have to be a lineman who's going to get their head slapped every single play to end up needing to have a scan. Anybody in the game of football or rugby or soccer, all of those need to be scanned. And if you play hockey, you should have your head scanned in the first place. So, I grew up where they play hockey. I'm just kidding.
And I'm not a tech, Jay, but the kids with ADHD, the fidgeting, this is going to be a lot easier than having to find that right spot in the kid's head when they're bouncing around in the chair. Am I right?
Actually, I find that kids tend to be kind of fascinated by the technology. And if they think they're going to be able to see their brain activity, they'll stick around and hold still a bit for the experience. And there are some kids that are just plain difficult, but they're going to be difficult no matter what you've got. So, sports folks are usually going to cooperate. They want to play sports, so they're going to sit still for, 20 minutes of a standard medical screening. 10 minutes eyes open, 10 minutes eyes closed is the standard. They look for epileptiform discharges, which could be problematic. If you don't know that they're there already, and you see them after a head injury, you think the head injury caused them. So you have to be able to scan for a sufficient period of time. But the incidence of ADD in sports is just like the rest of the school population, perhaps even a little higher, because it's been my observation that people that have difficulty in academics quite often excel in sports, and that's where they get their reinforcement for their activity in school. So they're going to be engaged in a sport. But ADD, a third of the ADD population, 25-30%, have unexpected epileptiform discharges, and you should know that they're there. For autism, it's much higher. You don't really have a very high incidence of severe autism in sports, but Asperger's autism in sports happens. 60% of the autism population have unexpected epileptiform discharges. So being able to see the non-epileptic incidence of epileptiform content ends up giving you a whole different idea of how to intervene with neurofeedback or medication or both. So I think it's going to be adopted in sports. I do believe that the adoption at this point of this technology is going to be more accelerated than the historic development of neurofeedback in the United States. In the US, we started in the 60s and we ended in the 70s and we were reborn in the 80s. So three decades after we got started, we actually got our feet on the ground clinically. So, of the last 50 years of my involvement in the field, hopefully it won't take anywhere near that long for this all to penetrate the market. I envision this to be much faster than the history in the U.S. From the decade ago when I met Dae-kun and Sung-wan, I've seen their rate of progress, starting from having no data and wondering what AMP to use, to now having not only a database, but a database that's specifically more advanced than any other database out there. The sex-specific norms are very important. And historically, people said, oh, they're kind of the same, so we combined them. Now that you see them next to each other, tell me they look the same. They don't. So the extra effort that they went through to keep that separate is unique. They also have approaches in their analysis that are modern neuroscience, not neuroscience from the 1970s. So I'm happy to see that they've adopted the computational neurosciences approach to the analysis and didn't get stuck in the past. There's a habit within the field to kind of stick with what they've been accustomed to. And we need to change our expectation to modern neuroscience, not 1970s neuroscience. And I'm happy to see that that's happening a decade ago. And now from nothing to basically being the best database, the new high-tech product, all from nothing. So I think this at the speed that they're going, this is going to penetrate the market within a few years in a way that we've never seen before. And I look forward to that. It's been a joy to see the blossoming. And, you know, it's the end of winter here in North America. And well, hopefully soon it will be the end of winter. There's a lot of people, a lot of snow and ice. But spring comes and things bloom fast. And I see this as the blooming of our field. And I think that they've planted some very good products. And I expect to see them prosper along with the field.
Yeah, as Jay said, I mean, the applications here are profound. You know, we're talking about things that have been discussed. There's a association around here. It's the Sports Neuropsych Association, and they're focused on, obviously, concussion. And one of the barriers to doing the work is being able to get a widespread reading of teams, not just particular individuals or, you know, post possible concussion assessment. So just in regards to sports, particularly, the applications here are pretty damn exciting, right? You can do a team in an hour, you know, you're not even losing practice time, right? So that's pretty exciting. But the other piece that Jay also alluded to, and you did too, Pete, putting the gunk in your hair and putting electrodes in the right spot are really important, but they're a pain in the you know what. And I think part of the learning curve and maybe even part of the deterrent for both early practitioners and patients, right? So now we're just leapfrogging that. And I guess it does remain to be seen how much this takes off, but I think it's easy to imagine that a device like this would facilitate folks getting into the field, just being more willing to participate, because you're cutting out an entire segment of the, I pardon the French, but edit it if you need to, Pete. That's a real pain in the ass. You know, people don't enjoy getting the gunk. It's not a big deal. Some people it is, but it takes time. And business person to business person, Pete, right? Like yeah. Now we're talking, you're cutting out 10, 15 minutes. If you have caps, you got to wash. That issue's no longer there. It's game changer.
I mean, training the tech, right? Then you train the tech and they leave and they go work for somebody else, or they get bad data, right? The artifacts. That was another question I was going to have Santiago, I mean, ask you a question, but I'm just wondering how the software works, because you have a tech working with somebody and then you can't get the right amount of clean data and you have to bring the client back in to get it done all over again. Santiago, ask your question. Please address how it is with the data and the artifacts and whatnot, and having it, the training time for a tech, the learning curve has to be a lot shorter than what it is currently.
Yeah. I agree with what Skip was saying, first of all, in that it's going to cut down significant time for the prepping and the setup. Just this week, 2 days ago, I did record a couple of professional boxers, a male and a female. And the male was particularly impressed with the way the helmet looks. He said it looked really cool, but he's very data oriented. He's a very data oriented athlete. He's into the science. And he was really, really impressed and with the quality of the signal and the results it provides. Now, The two elements I like about the icing wave the most are, one, that the speed at which you can get results, meaning it's a Wi-Fi interface. You record the data, it gets sent into their server at any point, someone or Daikon, if I'm using the wrong terminology, please correct me. But it gets sent, and then you get it sent back with the topographic maps and everything. And they have the algorithm that cleans the data. Now, as a practitioner, you have to ensure that you have a good enough connection and a good enough signal. You don't want too much artifact, because not even the best algorithm in the world can clean that up. But if you have good, clean data, it gets sent. Their algorithm takes care of that, and you get sent back the report. And it takes no more than 10-15 minutes from the moment you place the helmet, you do the recording, and you're getting the data back. And I used the helmet with two boxers, and then I went and did the traditional EEG with the paste and the gel and everything. And the correlation is there. It's just very impressive. The same brain areas that were dysregulated for these two athletes showed up in both places. The maps coincide quite nicely. And, you see it. Again, when I went to see their offices, I cannot use the correct words to express how impressive the work is, because they have two rows of about 6 to 8 engineers working on this. And you can see the EEG going, and how focused they are on meticulous is the word I was looking for. How meticulous they are in the treatment of the EEG with the algorithms tells you that this is what you want as a practitioner. And again, to me, for instance, if you have a tech in your office, you can have the tech scan the client before the session. You can run your neurofeedback, biofeedback session, and then scan them after the session to see what changes occur. With the boxers, one of the things you could do is you can have them spar and then have them sit down, scan their brain while their coach is talking to them. What is their brain doing while they're receiving instructions? Are they focusing enough? Are they tired? Is the brain getting infected? Therefore, it opens up the possibilities. If you're working with athletes and you have the cap with the paste and the gel, that reduces your possibilities for being creative. With the helmet, it can support some movement. Obviously, you don't want to have somebody boxing or climbing with it, but you can take it to the field. You can do some recordings, and then you can get more specific in the way you perform the EEG. Now, the way I envision it for my practice is to have the tech, my assistant, scan the client before, run the session, scan them after, and now you don't have to wait for longer accrued sessions to show some changes. You can tell them, look, this is when you came in. We did 40 plus minutes of neurofeedback. This is what it looks like now. I think we're on the right path, and we need to course correct here. We need to adjust here, but we're getting moment to moment, as Deacon was saying, moment to moment data in real time, and it's evidence-based. It's really impressive.
Imagine being a practitioner who deals with seniors my age that are having cognitive, the first hint that you've got something not right. I can't remember quite what I used to remember. I can't find the words, and you wonder whether something's okay. Now, if you're the doctor who serves that patient, imagine a month from now being able to get a iSync wave to put on people's heads in the waiting room before they see the doctor, and they have the results by the time they sit down with the doctor. How much time do you spend in the waiting room? Too much time, but it's not very long. You've got the data and the result, and the doctor has an objective way to tell you. You're more like a mild cognitive impairment, not like a dementia. You're more like a healthy aging person that's got some change. And we all expect changes as we age. Hopefully that we can manage them. But if the doctor sees something at that point, they can suggest brain brightening neurofeedback, photobiomodulation, which has been shown to help with dementias, forestalling the progress. So I think this is going to change practices going forward in a very positive way. You don't have to have a highly trained person. A receptionist can put something on somebody's head, for goodness sakes. So, and punch in a name and a phone number and a date of birth, and everything's pulled up based on the phone number and date of birth. So, people can put in any identifier they want, but phone number and date of birth can pull the data back out. So, I think this is the future hitting us in the face now with what we need to be doing. And I look forward to the FDA agreeing with the Korean FDA that this is a quality device. It's gone through proper validation. I have to say, in the US, a lot of the products that are put out as soon as they think of them. There's no validation studies. And here, not only do we end up with a validation study, but they've split the data that they can study so there's a replication study already. They're doing the science properly before they put something on the market. So I'm very impressed with the entire operation. If you're looking at it as a business, it's gone from nothing to being world-class unique in a decade. They're, I believe, going to go for an IPO sometime late this year. And
friends and family.
If you paid any attention to the internet and the CES meeting that just happened in Las Vegas, some of the people in the booth included Google folks and Samsung folks. And I'm sure that there's going to be some institutional investors that end up picking up pieces of this company, because I think it's really a absolute star to latch onto. And I'm happy to see my friends with such good success. It warms the heart.
It sounds like the future is with this particular product is, if you have the capital, you just send it out to the client, telehealth, put it on positioning and doing it that way. Oh my goodness. Who cares if I'm not training any techs.
Well, you're going to need to have trained staff to run sessions and things like that. So you're still going to surround yourself with good people. But
absolutely,
this obviates the length of the training. Historically, a new tech would be trained for a long period of time before they would be unsupervised, and I think this after maybe a dozen times when somebody's there to help, if there's any issues, they'd be up and running on their own. So it speeds up the speed of having somebody competent in the office.
So I'm so happy to hear that Jay and Santiago endorsed a lot about our work and product. So honored. So thank you very much. And I in the near future, soon, we hope to clear every formal process to expand our services to U.S. population, and then eager to see so many lay persons suffering from some mental illness such as addiction, some alcohol, drug problem, traumatic brain injury, and cognitive problem, depression. So our solution can be used for just ordinary, daily-based, ordinary mental care solution, like some mobile phone, some wearable device. I'm eager to see this future will come soon. And I'm trying my best to develop and upgrade our solution and device and algorithm with Dagan, Jay, and Santiago.
I'd like to add another one comment about the future success. for making a future success, I think the ease expert in our community can collaborate with many conventional clinicians through our platform services. Many people can visit the education setting and hospital setting. They don't know much about the domain knowledge in this area. So many EADS experts, many JACE students can connect the teacher in the education setting and conventional doctor in the clinical setting. We can educate them about the EADS knowledge, and we can design the personalized neurotherapy in the school setting or clinical setting. We can help the mainstream doctors, psychiatrists, and the neurologists and psychologists. So education is most important for the success of this new platform service. So we some kind of collaboration in our brain bodies, brain communities, is most core contents of the future success, I believe.
Suan Kang, Daekoon, Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And the best way to learn more about both of you is LinkedIn the best way, going to your company website. What would you prefer?
Yeah, please join to our LinkedIn site. And yeah, it is more convenient to real-time communicate together.
Perfect. We thank you all for listening to NeuroNoodles, Neurofeedback, and Neuropsychology Podcast. We'd like to thank our Patreon business supporters, Outrageous Baking. They're a dedicated gluten-free bakery that has been around for 15 years. Check them out at outrageousbaking.com. TorTalk wants more people to discover text-to-speech at tortalk.se. Alternative Behavioral Therapy, Neurofeedback Service in Vancouver, Washington. Just ask for Joshua M. Amazing Brains, they have two locations in Vail Valley and Summit County, Colorado. Ask for Micah. Successful practitioner in Kelly Feely will help you operate your neurofeedback business. Try them now with a free 25-minute consult. In Mind Out partners with successful practitioner to provide biofeedback, neurofeedback, and QEG certificate programs that meet both APA and board certification requirements. Check out the 6th Annual Super Brain Summit this April 8th at Bradley University, featuring Dr. Bruce Wexler, a psychiatrist at Yale Medical School. He will discuss neurotherapeutics, how can we regulate the brain with computers. Register now at bradley.edu/superbrainsummit. Biomedical Instruments carries a wide variety of biofeedback and neurofeedback and equipment and supplies. They carry a full line of EEG, QEG, EMG, temperature, GSR, and heart rate products from major manufacturers. Dr. Mary Tracy and Neurotraining Strategies, they have a higher standard of EEG, QEG education. They're currently offering a BCIA certified EEG neurofeedback course through stensacademy.com. Stay tuned for the launch of Mary's website or QEG board certified online course coming to a browser near you next month. We'd also like to say thank you to our supporters, EEG and me, Sadi M, Jonathan Rowan, January Terrell, and Loretta T. Hey, do you have an idea for a topic or guest? Please email me, Pete@neuronoodle.com, or leave us a voicemail in the link in the podcast notes. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And hey, if you really, really like us, you can always buy us a coffee on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. We love our Patreon peeps. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Great. Thank you very much.
Cue the music.